Your first eight guys maybe should be blue plate specials, but those back five guys, they should be more like tin hats, more guys that are grunt players, garbage players that dive for the ball.
You are listening to the Scrambled Eggs Podcast on CracksSidewalks.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome into another edition of Scrambled Eggs, your unofficial Marquette basketball podcast here on Crack Sidewalks. Phil, I think we're finally ready to stop talking about the Wisconsin win. I hope everybody enjoyed the bye week.
Yeah, it was a week spent deliciously savoring the Wisconsin victory, but now we're ready to move on and savor future wins.
Yeah, so no Marquette games that were happening this past week to talk about, so we're going to basically wrap up the non-conference chatter. There's really one big game to talk about. We'll talk about the game against Buffalo because we're probably not going to do a podcast around Christmas. Might check back in just before New Year's with you guys. But we're going to start with, I don't know if I'd call it breaking news, but maybe how about breaking speculation, Phil, as something you noticed on Marquette's Instagram Monday afternoon.
Yeah, so I am not a journalist or really any kind of ist, but I did notice on I was just happened to be scrolling through my IG Instagram stories as I'm wont to do when bored at work, and happened to notice a few from Marquette basketball's program, and okay, let's see, and they were practice, and okay, that's interesting. What? And happened to review a 4-second clip Zapruder film for a couple of minutes, and it has by all appearances looked like Greg Elliott was in full practice mode, maybe had a wrap on his hand from where he was hurt, but certainly didn't have the big giant brace, and was dribble driving and jump shooting in this 4-second clip. So seems like Greg Elliott might be back or close to back to playing.
Yeah, Marquette hasn't said anything, at least not at the moment we are recording this on Monday night. Who knows, by the time you guys listen to this podcast, maybe Marquette will have said something about Greg Elliott's availability for the remaining non-conference games. Maybe we see him against North Dakota. It would be great if he's ready for Buffalo. But I agree. You know, I saw the Instagram story as well. Like I said, it's only a little 4-second clip, so I'm not going to make broad generalizations or any declarations from that little clip there. But like you said, he did seem to be playing effortlessly. Like he didn't have any, he didn't have a cast on, and you know, dribbling the ball, shooting the ball, and we'll see like if that leads to anything. But it certainly wasn't a bad thing what we saw on Instagram. So we are again not breaking news, but breaking speculation that I think we believe Greg Elliott's going to be back very soon. Who knows, maybe as soon as Tuesday against North Dakota.
Yeah, I guess based on what I saw, I mean, I have no direct evidence of this, but I would think basically we're either going to see Greg Elliott against North Dakota if he's fully cleared to play and see him for a couple of minutes at least just to get him some game reps, or we're going to see him in the Southern game. There ain't no way Wojo would put Greg Elliott after 12 weeks off into a stiff competition like that Buffalo game, unless he really had to because of foul trouble or an injury or something like that. But I think we either see him against North Dakota or
Southern. I mean, I get what you're saying. I mean, there is something to be said for rust because I don't know how much, you know, basketball action he's been seeing. Like, I don't know if he's been, you know, obviously he's familiar with the plays and, you know, familiar with what they're supposed to be running and everything. I mean, he's there at practice and he's watching film with the team, but there is something to be said for not actually having done it in a game since last spring, or, you know, he scrimmages over the summer whenever the last time he actually played a basketball game. But yeah, I can kind of see what you're saying there, but again, if a situation warrants it in the Buffalo game, I don't think Wojo would be shy to throw Greg in there. If 5-10 minutes against North Dakota makes a huge difference as far as whether he's ready against Buffalo or not. So, I mean, if he's ready, I think he'll play. And, you know, we'll see what happens on Tuesday against North Dakota. But, you know, we've kind of talked about it a little bit on the podcast in the past, Phil, but assuming Greg Elliott does come back, whether it's this week or next, how much do you think changes as far as rotations or how much he, how much he fits in or where his minutes are going to come from?
Yeah, it's a good question. I would be shocked in the first couple of weeks that he's back that he's getting more than 10 or 15 minutes, right? Just to, again, to ease him back from a rust perspective and just getting into the flow of the game. And I think it's going to depend on matchups. But, I think what they basically do, I would hope they're going to try and actually decrease some of Marcus Howard's minutes. And I don't want people to think I'm somehow suddenly anti Marcus Howard because I talked about him needing to shoot a little less against Wisconsin, and I'm now advocating for him to get less minutes. But they can decrease Howard's minutes a little bit, keep him fresher. They can play Chartouni and Marcus together. So I think Elliott's minutes, at least initially, come a few from probably Marcus and maybe a few from Sakar, and quite honestly, I think Jamal Cain ends up probably further down the rotation, I would guess, if Elliott is back to full strength. I don't know. Where do you think the minutes come from?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just kind of looking at the depth chart numbers on KenPom as far as how they've been distributed lately, and Marcus Howard, 93% of the minutes at the point, Joe Chartouni the remaining, and then Chartouni basically splitting the minutes at the two with Sakar. I kind of see Sakar's minutes going more to the three. So maybe you see more of both Hausers up front. Sakar may lose some minutes to Greg Elliott in that regard. But I do think Wojo is going to want to have another ball handler alongside Marcus Howard more often than not. So whether it's Chartouni or Greg Elliott next to him, if you're going to label him, I guess maybe you still would consider Marcus the point guard. But, Marcus seemed to be scoring more when he has a good ball handler out there with him, whether it was Rousey last year or Chartouni this year, and so maybe he can catch the ball in rhythm a little bit more and get a few more open looks from three instead of having to trying to create his own shot from three, which I think we've seen him rush a few shots this year. Maybe that's one reason why his three-point percentage is a little bit down by his standards. But yeah, I think just a bit, kind of like you said there, Phil, a few minutes from everybody. I don't think it's going to be one person who's going to see all of his minutes decline because Greg Elliott's in the lineup. Because it's not like Elliott's going to be coming in and playing 30 minutes a game. I mean, he's going to be playing a smaller role, but an important role. Because, as he showed us last year as a freshman, as a guy who really was not a heralded recruit at all. I mean, he signed really late. He didn't really have a notable recruiting ranking that I recall. He's kind of one of those guys that really didn't have a ranking and then got like a 3-star after he committed. Kind of like Dexter Akano this year, but he showed his value, and what we saw, what Wojo saw in him, is what he can bring defensively, first of all, with his length, and he proved to be a pretty decent guard as well, evolving as a point guard, and he did a lot of it last year with that injured hand, and if that hand is 100% this year, maybe we can see a little bit more of him as a ball handler, at least a better version of him as a ball handler, alongside Marcus Howard. So that's kind of my take on where he fits in.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a wait and see. Like I said, I don't think they have to rush him in and maximize minutes. I mean, it's the top two minutes getters right now are Marcus Howard and Sam Hauser, but presumably those are also the two guys you want getting max minutes.
Exactly.
So it's going to be situational. I do think that somebody like North Dakota makes sense because they're not particularly tall or fast. So I think it's, Greg comes in handy there. But I think he's going to be kind of a jack of all trades, right? He's quick and he's got length, and so he's going to come in where we need help on the perimeter. He can be a third ball handler as necessary. So, like you kind of talked about, you could use where you can, you, if you now have three primary ball handlers in Howard, Chartouni and Elliott, you can make sure you have two of the three out at any given time and give one a rest or protect one in foul trouble.
Because that's something Wojo had alluded to in the past when I think somebody in one of his postgame pressers asked about having another guard alongside Marcus, and he said it's kind of like a guard shortage was part of the issue because, Sakar's more of a forward. And so he felt like he necessarily couldn't have both of them out there all the time because then he doesn't have a guard to come off the bench to spell somebody. But now that he does, so now you got a little bit of depth at the guard spot. So that's where Elliott brings some value in. Like you said, he does a little bit. He does a little bit of everything. You know, he can defend and play the point a little bit. I think his shot was coming around a little bit. We'll see how that shot looks now that he's got hopefully two healthy hands. But yeah, I think he surprised a lot of people. Pleasant surprise last year, and hopefully continues on an upward trajectory this season.
Yep, hopefully, yeah. I mean, again, like you said, he was injured last year, so he had limitations. If he's fully 100% healthy, plus, you know, a year in the program, and come the end of conference season, I'm kind of really excited to see what he's bringing to the table.
Yeah, so hopefully that'll work out. We'll keep an eye on that. So who knows, again, maybe by the time you guys all listen to this podcast, Marquette will make some kind of announcement regarding Elliott's availability. But it is looking good that he will be back sooner rather than later. Worst case, by the St. John's game to start Big East play on New Year's Day. But let's maybe talk about these remaining non-conference games, Phil. You know, two games, with all respect, that Marquette should probably win handily. You know, KenPom has Marquette as a 97% favorite and 99% favorite to beat North Dakota and Southern, respectively. So those are two games you should probably handle. Just maybe touch on North Dakota briefly, Phil. Just the one thing that jumped out to me looking at the numbers on North Dakota is how poor they are defensively, especially defending the three-point arc. They're in the 300s as far as opponent's three-point percentage, so maybe Marquette's three-point shooting gets going against North Dakota.
Yeah, and they are terrible at free throw defense, so
and that's something Marquette was used to last year.
Yeah, so we should be getting free throws and three-point shots. I you know, like you said, KenPom is predicting a rather sizable lead, 22 points, 97% probability of victory. I think this is going to be closer than that, probably. And I wouldn't be shocked to see the team struggle to start. I mean, 10 days off, coming off the Wisconsin win, it's kind of tough to get emotionally.
Probably not as much practice time with finals going on.
Exactly. And it's tough to get emotionally ready again. And, you know, there's going to be no Stern students in the Fiserv Forum, and it's probably going to be a relatively small crowd either way.
Right.
You know, so I think they're going to have to summon their own energy. So, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if in the first 10 minutes, if North Dakota's within, you know, a couple of buckets, or, I mean, heck, you could have a scenario where at one point North Dakota's up a point or two. But I do think, you know, game.
Yes, let's just not freak out if right. It's like 11-10 North Dakota early on.
Right, exactly. It doesn't mean we've slid back or regressed, unless we actually lose and then, you know, like burn it all down.
Yes, then we will find that panic button and just smash the hell out of it.
Correct. But, you know, I think it'll be a slow and steady game for Marquette and a good warm-up for the Buffalo game coming up on Friday, which is the big game.
Yeah, when that Buffalo game was scheduled, you know, Marquette probably viewed Buffalo as a good opponent, but probably not one that would come in ranked 14th in the country. I think when the game was scheduled after the tournament last year, so they kind of knew Buffalo was a good team after upsetting Arizona in the first round of the tournament last season and returning some pretty good players. But basically Buffalo has kind of been a beneficiary of just winning every game it's played. You know, it shocked West Virginia early in the season when West Virginia was a ranked team, so that kind of got Buffalo on people's radar, and they really haven't played many good teams since then. I guess San Francisco's not bad, so they beat the Dons. That's right, the Dons. Are they still the Dons?
Yeah, they're still the Dons.
So they beat San Francisco, which is a nice win. But other than that, well, I mean, most of their wins are just kind of so-so, you know, teams in the high 100s or in the 200s on KenPom. But, you know, Buffalo will play Syracuse on Tuesday, so there's a chance that Buffalo may have its first loss when it comes to the Fiserv Forum, because this is a tough stretch for Buffalo. Back-to-back road games at Syracuse and then visiting Marquette on Friday. But still, even if you want to, you know, look down your nose at their schedule and say, well, you know, maybe just getting a little overrated because they got that upset win early on and basically just have beaten some soft teams since. Their numbers are pretty impressive. For what it's worth, I mean, they're ranked a top 25 offense and a top 35 defense on KenPom. They defend the three very well, top 20 in the country as far as defending three-point shots. So the threes that we're hoping will be there for Marquette on against North Dakota might not be there at all against Buffalo. So Marquette may have to go inside. What jumps out to you about the matchup with Buffalo, Phil?
Well, I think the fact that their offense is so good. So it'll actually be I'd have to go dig through here, but I think it'll be probably of the offenses that Marquette's faced, I think it'll be probably the third best offense. Kansas obviously is number one, in terms of adjusted efficiency, right? I think Buffalo is going to
Wisconsin might be up there.
Yeah,
Wisconsin's a little bit better than Buffalo.
Yeah,
Wisconsin's 19, Buffalo's 25. But yeah, I get your point. It's up there.
Yeah, so it's going to be and Louisville's behind Buffalo. So it'll be the third best offense Marquette's faced. The point being that it'll be a good test for the defense. It's a home game, which has benefits, but again, the students are gone, so hopefully some students will come back for it. I mean, it's a Friday night before Christmas. Plenty of time to get up and then get back.
Hey, you kids who live in Milwaukee, what else you got going on Friday night?
Right, come on. Exactly. So, and hopefully, you know, with the program ranked and Buffalo being ranked, this will be a good walk-up ticket. There should be a lot of regular fans coming to the game, so it should be a good atmosphere. But I think it'll be a good challenge for Marquette. I guess it's fair to say I'm not terrified of Buffalo by any stretch of the imagination, but I do think it'll be a hard-fought competition, right? And I'm especially glad that they've got a warm-up game, so to speak, before they play Buffalo, just to get their feet back under them.
You know, diving into the KenPom numbers a little bit more, one area to definitely watch in this game is going to be turnovers on both sides. Because obviously Marquette's turnover rate has probably been one of the biggest detriments to the offense early on. Still ranked 226th in the country in turnover percentage on offense. Buffalo takes care of the ball really well. But let's go Marquette's offense versus Buffalo's defense. Marquette's offense, like I mentioned, turns it over a good amount, almost 20% of the time. That's 226th in the country. Buffalo defensively turns their opponents over at about 22% of the time. That ranks 42nd among defenses. So they turn their opponents over pretty well. And then on the flip side, Buffalo rarely turns it over. They're top 10 in the country in turnover percentage. They only turn it over about 15% of the time. Meanwhile, Marquette, not so great at forcing turnovers. They turn their opponents over at a 17% turnover rate. That's ranked 263rd. So weaknesses for Marquette kind of play into some strengths for Buffalo there on the turnover side. Buffalo takes care of it, and they turn their opponents over at a pretty good rate. Meanwhile, Marquette has been kind of sloppy with it this season, and they don't get a lot of turnovers. So that could be one area where I think Buffalo may come into this game saying, hey, if we can force some turnovers and take care of the ball, they would have a chance to come into the Fisur Forum and get a win.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. The one thing I look at is Buffalo does not shoot the three very well. They're very good inside the arc, not very good outside the arc. So I do think that Marquette gets to collapse the defense a little bit more, which hopefully will, you know, because again, Buffalo hasn't played a bunch of great teams, so it's not like they stacked up, three-point shooting against bad teams or against good teams that really defended them well. So I think Buffalo's not a good three-point shooting team. So again, I think this is going to be not dissimilar to the Wisconsin game. I think where offense is going to be at a premium at times, where both teams will struggle to score. It's just going to be a question of, does Marquette have the ability to protect the ball above all else? You mentioned the turnover numbers. That is going to be, for me, the number one thing to keep an eye on. If Marquette is limiting their turnovers, that's going to make the difference, I think.
Yeah, that could be another area where how does Greg Elliott affect that, positively or negatively?
Right.
You know, Greg had some of his struggles with turnovers last season, but again, he was playing with a bum hand, and we'll see how that hand is this year and if he even plays. But I don't know if a healthy Greg Elliott helps the turnover rate or could contribute to it. I guess we'd find out.
Yeah, well, and it's going to be interesting because it, you know, Buffalo.
Yeah, Greg, for what it's worth, turned it over almost 20% of the time last year. So
not great.
Not great, but not the worst on the team.
Right, but and again, also it, assuming he's fully healthy this year is different right. than last year. But you know, I think the other thing is that you know, Buffalo's more of an interior oriented game or team. You know, Nick Perkins is kind of the focal point of their offense. So the question is, can Theo John and Ed Morrow, he's not going to be a Hap where he's got a, you know, he's a guard and a big man's body. He's going to be more of a banger type though he does have the ability, not in large volume to step out and hit the three. It's going to be interesting to see how Ed Morrow and Theo John match up with Nick Perkins, because that'll also tell the tale of how Marquette's doing. He's the one I worry about more than anyone with the matchup.
Yeah, you mentioned that Buffalo doesn't shoot it well from three, but they have one player who does, C.J. Massenburg. He's shooting 43% on the season. So if they have one guy who's going to, you know, bomb threes and try to either build Buffalo a lead or help them catch up in a hurry, it would be Massenburg. So somebody's got to put a body on him.
Yeah, what that's going to be is it's going to be probably Sakar's matchup, right?
Right, because yeah, Massenburg plays kind of a 2-3.
Yeah. So and we've seen how Sakar can do against that, you know. So and both, not too bad, but both Buffalo and North Dakota have kind of taller point guards. So you know whether that'll matter with Marcus Howard or not, or you know if you need to bring in somebody like. If you got to bring in somebody like, you know, Greg Elliott and or Chartouni to help cover the point guard, you know, if height becomes an issue, it shouldn't at the guard position. But yeah, I think it's going to be Sakar. Just whatever you do, don't leave CJ Massenburg, and then everybody else kind of stick to your man and really make sure that Nick Perkins doesn't do too much damage.
Right. Yeah, and you know, as you know, we've kind of broken down some where areas to be concerned about, but I think overall, Phil, I think you and I are still both expecting three wins over the next week or so.
Yeah, absolutely. I like I said, I think
yeah,
it's
I mean, Marquette
be
is favored to win all three, even against Buffalo, which is going to be a challenge. But bottom line is, we both expect Marquette to kind of finish the deal here and get to that, you know, nice round number of getting 11 wins in a non-conference, getting out of non-conference with only two losses, and that would certainly be a victory as they head into the Big East conference play.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I guess I agree that we're going to, I think we're going to get three wins. I think one's going to be certainly much tougher than the other two, but even if they lose the Buffalo game, it's not like a devastating thing. Again, Buffalo's ranked, they may be undefeated when they come in to play Marquette. So it wouldn't be the most ridiculous thing to have happen. I don't think they will win, but again, similar to the earlier statement, let's not go mashing the panic button if we win two out of the three.
Yeah, it would be a bummer to lose to Buffalo, but yeah, I'm with you. It wouldn't be like a season ender or anything. It wouldn't be like a total disaster that how they come back from this, because there are going to be plenty of opportunities for wins in the Big East. As even though the Big East is down, I think right now Marquette is the only ranked Big East team. Because Villanova went out and lost to Penn last week. And St. John's, while it is undefeated, really hasn't beaten anybody. But
well, let's put it this way. I'm more concerned about Buffalo than St. John's right now. Yes, I and that's maybe an unpopular opinion. A lot of folks are high on St. John's. But I think Buffalo has shown as much, if not more, than St. John's has.
That's fair to say.
You know, so I mean, St. John's very well might be a very good team, and we'll find out January 1st. But, you know, I just – if we can win the Buffalo game and, you know, get out of non-conference 11-2, I don't think – regardless of how that Indiana game looked, I don't think there are any regrets for the non-conference, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you take that for sure. If, you know, coming into the season said Marquette's going to get out of the non-conference at 11-2, I mean, you signed for that right away. And you've got enough quality wins that you could feel pretty good about making the tournament. You know, as I mentioned, the Big East, as we all know now, probably not as strong as in the past, but it's not like it's total garbage either. There are still going to be a lot of quad one, quad two wins. We'll see who is what when it comes to what's quad one, what's quad two. But there are going to be a lot of opportunities for quality wins, maybe not top tier, just wow wins that are going to really vault you up the polls, but a lot of nice wins to really pad the resume. You know, like I said, yeah, you could probably feel pretty good about getting in the tournament, but I think if you're finished non-conference 11-2, going 9-9 and just getting into the tournament probably is a little bit too low of a goal for this team, right? You kind of want to get to double-digit wins, get maybe 11, 12 wins maybe or more if you can, and not just get into the tournament, but get a comfortable seed in the tournament where maybe you look at a matchup that you could possibly advance a round or two.
Yeah, I agree. I it's kind of one of those double-edged swords. I think the quality of the Big East this year lends itself such that I feel fairly certain if Marquette is who we think they are, they're a top one, top two team in the Big East.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was going to throw at you next is – and some other have kind of kicked this around too. Is Marquette the favorite right now? I mean, like Gary Parrish and Matt Norlander were talking about that on the Eye on Sports podcast. They said, if you got to pick somebody in the Big East right now, who you pick? And they both said, I guess Marquette, but I'm not sure. And so I think that's kind of where I am too, is like almost by default.
Right.
I'd say Marquette might be the Big East favorite just because Nova is just taking a bit of a step back. Do you think Marquette's the Big East favorite right now?
They're the only ones. I think they have to be, right? I mean, Villanova has had some bad losses, I would characterize it more than a step back, right? I mean, there's no doubting they have talent, but they're probably at least a year away from playing to their talent, at least so far what they've shown. I mean, they've had some bad losses. St. John's, we talked about, is undefeated, but, I mean, they have played no one.
So
we don't know how good of a quality that is. Marquette has two losses on the schedule, has beaten quality opponents. I mean, they hung with Kansas. I know as Marquette fans, we were extremely dissatisfied with the way the second half went against Kansas. But, you know, sometimes you're going to have games like that. That doesn't necessarily mean every time that's how Marquette would play. So really the only game that Marquette was consistently bad at was in the Indiana game, at Indiana. So Marquette is, I guess the short way of saying is, yeah, I think they're the favorite simply because they're the only ones that are battle tested and have quality wins on the schedule. Everyone else has at minimum significant flaws that have shown, or they haven't played anyone of quality.
Yeah, Marquette has flaws too, but
right.
I agree with what you're saying. Just if you're looking at the body of work right now and maybe who has the experience to get through the grind of a Big East season, I mean, I would have to go with Marquette for right now. And I'll admit, I maybe haven't watched every Big East team super closely. I've kind of kept – I definitely watch Villanova games, they just don't have the experience this year. Not to get off topic, I saw two Villanova commits play here in Dallas over the weekend. Let's beat Villanova while we can before these dudes show up. Villanova could be really good next year, especially if assuming that Quinterly kid doesn't transfer and he becomes what they thought he might be. Villanova's going to be back, especially when they get these guys I saw over the weekend, this Jeremiah Robinson Earl and Justin Moore. They can both really play. But getting back to this season, yeah, I just think looking at just based almost by, like I said, by default, is I think Marquette has the best body of work so far in the Big East. They have the experience and they have a little bit of star power that not really every Big East team has. I mean, St. John's has Shamori Pons and Mustafa Heron is now who's been eligible this year and has been a nice boost to the team. And I think St. John's will be good. But if you're asking me who would I pick on a neutral court, I'd probably take Marquette over St. John's.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you look at it, if you look at the Big East, by KenPom ranking, Marquette is the third highest ranked KenPom team behind Villanova and Butler. And Butler lost to Indiana, lost to St. Louis, lost to Dayton, right? They don't They beat Florida. Mississippi's kind of a decent win for them. But other than that, I mean, so you got maybe Butler, Marquette, Villanova is going to be somewhere just from a talent standpoint. And then St. John's is, you know, kind of riding the Georgetown train of last year of are they good or are they not good? I don't know why I'm struggling so much accepting that Marquette might be the best team in the Big East, but I mean, here we are. I think that's where we're at.
It just seems like just so premature because based on, you know, the past 4 or 5 seasons, Marquette has pretty much consistently been middle to bottom third of the Big East, right?
Right.
So just we even kind of said this in the preseason about that. It just seems like premature. We weren't talking about Big East championship necessarily in the preseason, but we were kind of talking could they finish top 2 or 3. It just seems like such a big jump, but it does make sense when you look at what other teams lost last season, what Marquette brought back, what Marquette now has been able to accomplish in the non-conference, and the way some of the way Marquette's best players have played, and I think the way they will continue to play, and I think we're even going to get more out of guys like Howard and Hauser, both of them, as season goes along. Yeah, I don't think it's ridiculous to say Marquette's the Big East favorite, especially because this is a Big East conference that is currently 5th rated on KenPom as a league, which is, I think in the past few years, it's been top 2 or 3, so a little bit of a watered-down Big East this season, but to say the Marquette's the best team, best chance, if you had to place your chips on somebody right now, I don't think it's crazy to place it on Marquette.
Yeah, I think it's a... It's a good thing to be. It feels weird to say we expect them to be the number one team in the Big East.
But... Yeah. It's like saying expect is almost like getting too cocky about it.
Right.
It's like, I think they can do it.
Right.
I'll put it that way.
Yeah. I am in no way going to be shocked at all if Marquette wins the Big East. But, I mean, I'm going to be ecstatic because it's not something I necessarily expect. I expect some sort of glitch along the way just because, you know, we all eat at Arby's, but.
Marquette's not going 18-0. I promise you that.
Yeah. Oh my God. Could you imagine?
Hang a banner if that happens.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You would, because it's the biggest championship.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, actually, we would hang a banner. Which are you more likely to hang a banner? Do you hang a banner more for a regular season championship or winning the Big East tournament?
If you're hanging for one of them, I guess I would go. I'd say regular season is a little more of an accomplishment, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
18 games. Yeah.
Like I would hate to see a banner for a Big East tournament, but you know, hey, let's not put the cart before the ox, or you know, any of the conference season before the current.
Let's beat Buffalo first. Yeah. How about that?
Yeah.
All right. Before we get out of here, I guess we just want to touch on just an article that came up last week about Marquette possibly kicking around the idea of an on-campus arena. See that in the Journal Sentinel?
I did, yes.
They reported through some anonymous sources that Marquette at least considered the idea of an on-campus arena, getting away from Fiserv Forum, which seemed kind of crazy, but I'm glad Marquette abandoned it. Just weird that article came out when it did.
Well, that is the question of the article, right? Like, who leaked it and why was it leaked? I mean, it makes sense, you know, given some of the inside stuff I heard about – you know, how the Fiserv Forum negotiations went down and kind of how the Bucks ownership group were throwing their weight around, so to speak. You know, it's good that Marquette went and did an investigation to see what the options were, and if nothing else, you know, act like they had leverage when negotiating with the Bucks. But I'm trying to figure out why that article would come out now. That Marquette tried to do that, like
somebody was bored on a bye week, I guess.
I guess, you know, like Lovell just left a folder labeled secrets on the trolley around Wisconsin or around Milwaukee, and someone picked it up.
Somebody got really frustrated with some of the revenue. You know what? I'm gonna call somebody at the Journal Sentinel. I'm gonna give them something.
Yeah,
I want this stuff out there. But
it's weird. I mean,
I'm glad Marquette abandoned that,
because
it just seems like a waste of resources when you got a first class arena. And hopefully, whatever issues, if there are issues with the Fiserv Forum, there are, that they can be worked out and Marquette can play there for a long, long time as long as the arena is standing.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, I was thinking about it. Milwaukee has, like, over a dozen, like, facilities that can host concerts of various sizes and stuff. You add a 13th in Marquette, like, just it would basically be something that, you know, an arena that sits there for, you know, it sits there most of the year just waiting for what the 20 home games we have a year. And it would just be interesting because it, you know, Marquette would have to go for some, you know, like 12,000, 11,000 seats, which is at or just below the number of alumni or excuse me, the number of season ticket holders. So they'd have to jack up prices, right, to decrease demand and generate additional revenue for the lost 6,000 seats that they don't have in the Fiserv. So just economically, yeah, like, I wonder, it doesn't,
like,
make sense.
Yeah, I wonder, you mentioned, like, just the 20 home games. Would, like, the Marquette women and the volleyball team, would they have played that gigantic in a bigger arena? Because I think they both seem pretty comfortable in the
McGuire
Center.
Yeah.
I think the attendance is appropriate for there.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, quite honestly, if I'm, you know, giving opinions on this, I think somebody just got carried away with how well the NIT games went at the Owl and started having delusions of grandeur of, well, what if we...
I could see that.
What if we had an on-campus arena? And it's like, yeah, okay, but that only makes sense if you don't have a state-of-the-art NBA arena that you can play in. And again, I get that the Bucks are tough customers to negotiate, and things are significantly more expensive than they have in the past when Herb Cole was running the Bucks and the Bradley Center was the venue. But an on-campus arena just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, so kind of glad Marquette abandoned that and hopefully continue to play in the Fiserv Forum, and hopefully where they will see some nice wins.
Still undefeated.
Still undefeated, and 12th-ranked teams have no shot. I was hoping Buffalo would move up to 12th in the latest AP poll, then we, you know, have three straight teams coming in with ranked 12th.
But that would have been awesome. Way, but yeah.
But hey, we could say no ranked team has come in as a visitor and won.
That's true. I would be perfectly happy hanging my hat on that one.
Yeah, let's see if we can keep that going. And mainly, I'd just love to see Marquette go undefeated at home this season, which, yeah, it's still got a long road to hoe there, but not a ridiculous goal for this team, if you ask me.
No, I agree.
So, hey, do you want to do an official prediction? I mean, pretty lopsided. I'm going pretty lopsided on North Dakota and Southern. Maybe North Dakota gets a little sloppy, but as far as the Buffalo game, I'll go... I'm going to go 74-70, good guys.
Okay. I'm going to go good guys winning, but I'm going to go, again, more of a rock fight. I'm going to say 67-61 Marquette in the Buffalo game.
Okay. I'll sign for that, too. I'll take that. And hopefully Marquette gets three wins and then get ready for Big East play. Like I mentioned, we're probably not going to do a podcast the week of Christmas. Probably check back in with you guys maybe just for New Year's, and as we get ready for Big East play, hopefully as 11-2 Marquette takes on St. John's, who St. John's, oddly enough, plays a Big East game before Marquette does. St. John's plays Seton Hall.
At Seton Hall.
They play at Seton Hall on the 29th, so I guess Marquette might be one of the last teams to actually start Big East play, but that's neither here nor there. We'll get to that on the next podcast. As always, we... thank you for checking in with us here on Scrambled Eggs. You can hit us up on Twitter. I'm Joe McCann 3. Phil is MOOOF23. Crack Sidewalks is the team handle. Go to cracksidewalks.com. Leave your comments there where we post the podcast. We also have a Scrambled Eggs Facebook page. And also, please remember to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Phil, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Just wishing everyone a happy holidays and hoping that we get three Marquette wins under the old Christmas tree.
Everybody have a very Merry Christmas. Until next time, seashells and balloons. Hope you don't get that in your stockings. That'd be weird.